Welcome back for episode 2 of this 2-part episode with Joshua Benson. Hope you all enjoyed episode 1, and right up ahead is episode 2.
And like the momentum just went completely on the other side of the spectrum. And it was like the Rockets were 3 points away from tying that game up at the end of the fourth quarter. And it was crazy. It's like, also blame the players, because when you ask those players and you say, what's the problem? What's going on? You know, what is the issue? Why aren't you guys communicating? You know, you heard Derek say it all season long, communicate. And you ask these players and you say, what's the problem? You know, they tell you straight up, we don't know. And I remember I asked Derek, I forgot what city we were in, but I asked him, I said, you know, is it not problematic? And I asked Bobby Portis the question too. Is it not problematic that if you guys don't know what's going on, you know, then who knows what's wrong? Like, you know, and Bobby admitted, he was just saying, like, yeah, that is a problem. We were in Orlando. Not the last time they were in Orlando, but the time before then. And then they both admitted, like, yeah, that is problematic, you know, because that is the problem. It's like if you had a plumber come to your house and say, I don't know why your toilet is not working. And I'm thinking, if you don't know, like, who knows? Like, I mean,
how are we gonna fix
I don't
it?
Know. Yeah. Right, how are we going to fix this issue? So with the people that are a part of the problem, they don't know what the problem is or how to fix the problem or why the problem continues. It just shows you, the story of the season. And so, I mean, I think everybody gets to blame. You know, so many people say Ugar and Pack. So many people say Fred and his new system. I say top to bottom, from the person that don't play at all to Jerry. I think everybody is blind.
His name is Tony Snow.
Right. From Tony Snow to Jerry, right? That's the spectrum. Oh, man, Tony is going to hate me after this. But anyway, from Tony Snow to Jerry. Wait, I have a funny story about Tony real quick. We, the V guys, came up with this. Some of the guys on the beat came up with this unofficial stat that does not exist. And so we said that Tony Snell led the league in the most open missed shots. And it was one game we were at. I think it was a part of the West Coast road trip where they gave Tony the ball. I mean, it was great assists. Like, Derrick Rose is looking like Steph Curry with these type of assists, right? But they never counted because Tony is wide open. There's nothing, nobody there. It's just him, air, and the goal. And it's just mess. And, I mean, he don't miss, like, oh, it rims out. Like, you cannot understand.
No.
I mean, like, it's a mess. Like, it's like he don't even hit the rim at this some point. Like, it was like a long turnover. That's how bad it was. And so, yeah, so that we came with that unofficial stand. I think that was the last time I think I saw Tony play, really. It was, I think, but.
And that stat, I bet you, is not far off if there is a stat out there.
Right.
Somebody can find.
We got to talk to the analytic guys, and we got to make that a stat. So we got to give Tony Snow a credit where credit is due.
Hey, I just don't understand because the shot looks so good. Like, it's such a nice, clean.
It is.
There's no confidence.
He's a great person. He's a really nice guy, and he got a nice shot, but
he got no.
If he know, right? If he could learn that the ball is supposed to go into the goal, he'll be all right. He will be all right. But until then. Hey, just stay in the gym. Stay ready, right? That's what you tell rookies. I know he's not a rookie, but stay ready. But yeah, top to bottom, from Snell all the way to Jerry Reinsdorf, definitely everybody is to blame. I think the Bulls must ask themselves the question: where do we go from here? If the playoffs is not an option now because mathematically it's almost impossible. Okay, fine. The fan base, they've swallowed that pill already. You have to convince your fan base, we're going to go into the offseason and we're going to build a product that's going to make you want to come and spend that $200, $300, $400, $500 to come see the Bulls play and to buy this merchandise. That merchandise is expensive.
Oh, my God.
You know,
I just went to a Warriors game. Oh, my God.
Man, yeah, that's
what?
It costs to be a fan. It's highway robbery, right?
I bought my kid a pair of Golden State Warrior, just like basketball shorts, $60.
Right. 60. See, whew, man. And just imagine if you bought the quote unquote authentic. Like, that's probably, that was, you know, the like.
They're like $130.
Yeah, probably double, if not triple that, right? And it's just like, you, if you're the Bulls, you have to convince your fan base that, hey, buy our merchandise. Tune in to Comcast Sportsnet or WGN or whatever, you know, whoever their local partners
are. Keep buying
an
NBA League pass just to watch us.
Right, exactly. You know, if you don't live in the Chicagoland metro area, you know, and you know, you're out in Cali or New York or New Orleans somewhere, you're a Bulls fan, buy League Pass, you know, pay that extra money. You can see it on your tablet and your phone. You know, watch us. Hey, you know, you have to convince this fan base that we're going to go into the off season and we're going to do some unprecedented things. We are going to change the face of this team if need be. And we're going to put a product out there on the floor that's going to be watchable, because when you think about the Chicago Bulls, that organization is so historic because the Jordan era is not too far away. You know, it's just less than what, back 99, you know what I'm saying? 98, 99. It was just like, it's not too long ago. It's still in our distant memory. You know, we're not talking about like the Jerry West era where that was like so long ago, right? We're talking about like Michael Jordan era is right there. And so it was like you got Derrick Rose and you thought that was going to, you know, happen. And unfortunately, injuries kind of gave him a feeling. Now, of course, Derek will tell you, which I think any basketball player with confidence would tell you, hey, yeah, I had these injuries, but, you know, I don't know what may happen tomorrow. I may, you know, get back into shape and be MVP Derek times two. Hey, I would love to see that to happen. If it don't, though, I think he's okay with that. I think he's knowing that he's just going to have to modify his game. And that's something that he told me in the Kobe interview when we did an exclusive about Kobe. He wants to still be impactful in the game, even if he's not as explosive as he once was. And that's something that he said he would like to learn from Kobe. So it's just like, you know, the thing with Derek didn't necessarily work out the way that a lot of Bulls fans hoped that it would because of the injuries. All right, the Bulls fans, they swallowed that pill already. If anybody's still harping on Derek being injured, like, you got to get off that. Right. We need to bring the shout out to Will, right? You know, hey, let it go. Like, you know, come on, we've been through that.
Burn the pictures and the old love letters.
Right.
Put it in the box in the backyard and burn it up.
And just throw it in Lake Michigan or wherever. It's okay. It'll be all right. It's just like, okay, so that didn't happen. So what's next? You know, and am I all for, you know, trading everybody, trading Jimmy, not finding Derek? No. I mean, I really think this team could be great with Jimmy and Derek at the helm. I just think that, first of all, they have to not only adjust the Fred system, but buy into his system. And Jimmy has to humble himself just a little bit. I understand you're a kid from Houston, you came from nothing, and you put yourself on the map. Nobody endorsed you. This was all for Jimmy by Jimmy. I understand, and made by Jimmy. I understand that.
Did he knock Joe third person today too?
You said what? I'm sorry to hear you.
Did he not go third person today too? Like, Jimmy, that's on Jimmy. That's on Jimmy Butler.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Like, you know.
Come on, bro. Come on, Bobby Portis Jr.
Right, exactly. I'm okay with Bobby talking to himself. That's something Bobby's been doing since he was a kid. But Jimmy, come on now. You know.
Let Bobby do his thing.
Right, let Bobby do his thing. But if Jimmy Star misses shots, come on, JB. I'd be like, you know what? All right, so we're going to have to call a psychiatrist for this thing. But wait, quick sidebar right quick. Have you noticed that all of them, like, it's not all of them, but a lot of the rookies that came out of this class, they have, like, a split personality. Have you noticed that? Like, Carl Anthony Towns, he got Carlito. Bobby Portis is BP. Like, it was something in the water with those guys. Like, they have, like, this multi-personality thing going on. I don't...
It's like the new era of NBA basketball, maybe? I don't know. Yeah.
Right. It's the new era. You got, you know, this is just a joke because I'm interviewing him on Friday, but you got D'Angelo, and then you got TMZ D'Angelo, like, he's 16 person. So it's just like, you got so many different facets with these.
Just ask him how he likes Chicago. Like, how do you like Chicago?
So. I should. You know, who knows? See, I probably just canceled my interview by saying that. But no, it's all love for D'Lo. You know, hey, if the Bulls want to trade off everybody, bring in D'Angelo. I would love to see D'Angelo in the Bulls uniform. I think you and I talked about this earlier in the week. You know, I'm not a Bulls fan because when you take the oath of journalism, you have to, you know, not be a fan, even though it's kind of hard not to be if you were born in Chicago or just love basketball. So I can't go on a record and say, oh, I'm a Bulls fan. But I will say this is a fan of basketball. You know, hey, if the Bulls have to let some of their biggest stars go to bring in some young talent to be successful and to run and go get championships, I'm all for that. You know, at the end of the day, I think it's great for the city of Chicago, and I think it's great for the fan base. I think you owe it to the fan base. I mean, you look at the Minnesota Timberwolves. After the Timberwolves beat the Warriors, you saw how everybody on Twitter all drunk on the Timberwolves. I've been right about the Timberwolves for the past 3 years, saying the Timberwolves are going to be a great team. When they got Wiggins, when they got Zach LaVine, when Flip was there, you know, before he passed, he put in a great system. And then you end up getting Carl Anthony Towns. Like, that team is going to be a force to be working with. All they need is a coach. And this is my theory. I'm going out a little bit off topic, but this is my theory. Bring in Thibodeau. Everybody loves Thibodeau. Put Thibodeau in Minneapolis.
It makes put him the in a most twin sense team. Of anything in the NBA right now.
The put him sense. In Minneapolis. Put him in Minneapolis. Give him the Doc Rivers contract. Let him run not only the coaching duties, but also let him have some general manager type duties where he can make some decisions. Put Tibbs in Minneapolis. It's just like Chicago, just a little smaller. It's still a top 20 market. He can still get a lot of money out there. ESPN, they've had big guys out there covering, you know, the Timberwolves this season. Was this not a record number of national televised games? I mean, I've seen the Timberwolves on TV just as many times as I've almost seen the Knicks. Like, so that's Minneapolis there for you. So, yeah, put Tibbs up there in Minnesota. Everybody want to see Andrew Wiggins prosper. Everybody want to see Carl Anthony Towns prosper. Show the world that Zach LaVine can do more than just dunk. Yeah, and you're telling me they're going to get another lottery pick this year? Oh, come on. Yeah, so I brought up the Timberwolves to say they sold that market. They sold to their market, hey, buy into us. Yeah, we're terrible now. Because even their slogan last year was forward tomorrow or something like that. You know, they basically talked about tomorrow. It was like, ooh, don't look at us today. Like, I mean, you know, look at us, but don't look at us too hard. But they was like, hey, the next season, the season after that, we're going to be great. And look at them. They're definitely, in my opinion, on their way to the playoffs, if not next year. So it's just one of those things where it's like the Bulls have to make the decision to decide what direction they want to go. And I believe you can do that with Jimmy and you can do that with Derek. The problem is as you mentioned, and I have to give you kudos to that, you hit the nail on the head. It's not that they can't fit into his system. Are they buying into his system? And that's the question. And that's the question that needs to answer. And the Bulls have to honestly admit to themselves what their mistakes are. You know, they talk about, oh, we can't communicate. How hard is it to say, watch for the pick? I mean, if you ever saw me at LA Fitness, I'd be like, you know, back door, like how hard is it to say that? And you saw it last night in the Memphis game. I mean, the turnovers, the communication that just did not exist. You know, I'm standing there at the media row, and I'm seeing this happen like, oh, don't he see that pick coming? Oh, turnovers. You know, like nobody said anything. Like I almost had to run out there on the court and say, yo, watch for the pick. You know, like it was that bad. And, you know, and I think Nick Friedell tweeted that the other day where he was basically saying, like, you know, this isn't even rock bottom yet. Like it's crumbling, it's falling down, but this isn't even the worst yet. We haven't seen the worst just yet. And maybe we will in the coming days if the Bulls don't turn us around. Maybe we will in the offseason. Maybe this will get really ugly before it gets better. You know, maybe when the offseason happens, you'll just hear all these reports about who hate this person, who hate that person. Like, maybe it will get really ugly before it gets better.
I was hoping Rip Hamilton was going to come out a couple years ago write a book, but
somebody needs to write a book. But yeah, I'm optimistic though. I say all of this to say that I'm optimistic. If you're a Bulls fan, I would say be optimistic, because to be honest, it really can't get no worse than this. You say, what do you mean, Josh? You just said that it could get worse before it could get better. What I mean by that is that, okay, the Bulls are more than likely going to miss the playoffs. Yeah, what, they were a 500 team. You know, what's the difference between them and Philadelphia? Like, in my opinion, you say, well, damn, Philadelphia lost so many games. Oh, the Bulls lost so many games. They almost Philadelphia until Jimmy Butler had that Jordan-like game. You remember that? They almost lost to the 76ers. So it was just like, you know, what's the difference between them and the Lakers? Well, I mean, other than the Kobe tour, what's the difference? You know, I mean, I think if you don't make it to the playoffs, and if they make it to the playoffs, are they really going to beat LeBron? This team going to beat LeBron?
No.
So it's just like, you know, either way it goes, it's a lose-lose situation. If you don't make the playoffs, at least maybe you'll get a, you know, a nice pick. If you do make the playoffs, what, you're going to get slaughtered by the Cavaliers? Like, I don't think this is going to be the team that – only way I thought – and I had everybody laughing on this one. Only way I would have thought the Bulls could have done the unthinkable is when they first found themselves kind of in this position about a week and a half ago. If the Bulls would have just went on a great, like – 10 to 11 game winning streak, like won all of their games over the past couple of weeks, and then they go into the playoffs as an eighth seed possibly or something like that and end up playing Cleveland, and then they dethrone Cleveland, yeah, then you can say, wow, the Bulls really did something. But yeah, like hypothetically speaking, if the Bulls were to make it into the playoffs, even if they would have had the seventh seed and played Toronto, you know, let's just say crazy in the world, they would have beat Toronto. Like in the end of the day, would they have beaten Cleveland? Probably not. So you still have the same result that you've been having here in Chicago for the past few years, right? Where the Bulls would make it to the playoffs, but they just couldn't beat LeBron. So either way you go, the season wasn't successful. That's why I don't understand why during the trade deadline the Bulls didn't take action. You know, they held on to the tradition. Oh, well, the Bulls never make moves during the season. Well, hell, you got, sometimes you have to try new things to get better, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. They didn't. So
broken
this
record.
Is where we are now.
It's a broken
right.
record. That's what it
it's
is.
A broken record.
No, they had that 4-game stretch, I think, right at the end of March, where they lost to the Knicks twice, the Magic, and then the Hawks. Like, that right there, those 4 games before they had their Rockets win that they snuck out of there, which I thought was a nice win. And then they beat the Pacers also. That game scared the hell out of me, but they won that game, and I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. Like, here's that stretch that we need. Mm-hmm. And then they just can't beat the Pistons, which would have been a huge win. And then the Memphis Grizzlies, like, they basically, once that loss came to the Atlanta Hawks, they were in a no-lose mm-hmm. situation if they wanted to make the playoffs. And then they've dropped 2 games since then, and you just can't do that when you're fighting for a playoff spot. You can't do that when you have this type of a roster. And I think what Fred Hoiberg needs to do, and just to see how serious this team is, if they do want to still, you know, make a playoff run first quarter tomorrow, if Pau Gasol comes out, misses his first few shots, bench him, because he's not going to do anything else for you. Take him out and put in Felicio. Like, make a statement. Like, you want to play a playoff-type basketball? I need you to do what I ask you to do. Don't just put him in there to continue to just dig a hole for you that guys like Jimmy and Derek can't get you out of because they're having an off night. You know, I really think that Pau Gasol to me is my punching bag this year. I think that he has done some terrible things for this team this year, more bad than good. Yes, he's had some great triple double games, a lot of double doubles, but what he does on the defensive end. Is that really minusing out what he's doing offensively, you know, every game in and game out? No, his plus minus, he doesn't have a positive plus minus right now. So the answer is no. And if you're going down the stretch here, you need to make a run. You need to figure out, yes, for real, we are going to do this. Somebody needs to grow a pair of balls and tell Pau Gasol, look, you need to rotate on that screen. Derek versus this guy baseline, you need to step up and quit backpedaling so that it just makes it to where the guy just shoots a layup. Every time there's a screen on the wing involving Powell and Derek, Derek does what he does, forces him baseline towards the big man. And what is our big man Pau Gasol doing? He's backpedaling to the basket. What are you doing? Stand your ground, put your hands up, trap. He's in the corner on the baseline. Why is there – there's never been one trap. The dude is a terrible defensive player, and I'm loving the game that Felicio is bringing. Hell.
Me too.
It's a win-lose situation right now, or a win-win, obviously, I guess, is what you could say. Felicio's getting some playing time, and he's not going to hurt you worse than Pau Gasol does because he's going to do some things defensively, stopping some of those pick and rolls. He's going to box guys out. He's going to keep guys off the boards, and you're going to also not have to run the ball through him because I think with Derek and with Jimmy and now having to feed Pau the ball also to keep him in the game, you don't need to do that with a Felicio. You call me crazy because I know that Pau Gasol is also a Hall of Famer, and I'm sitting here talking about a guy that we signed on a 10-day contract, I think, at the beginning of the year. But that's where we're at right now. Like, that's where we are. It's like a do-or-die situation, and I think that's a move that I would like to see happen, just to see. I've made some crazy claims in the past that it actually happened, so I'm hoping that this crazy claim will happen too and work out for the better.
Well, I mean, I like that. I like that, especially when you say, you know, someone needs to basically step up and mention a pal, like, hey, do this, do that. And that's the thing. The Bulls, and they need that from their coach first and foremost, but they also need that from a player on the team. They need those voices, and that's something that they are missing. And that kind of goes back to that whole chemistry balance thing. And that was something that I really do like about the Wizards. It's just like, and they will say that, we lose together, we win together. And that's the thing. If you have that type of bond and relationship with your fellow teammates, then you're comfortable in telling them that they're doing wrong, right? Like, just think about it in everyday life. If somebody is your best friend and they make a bad decision, you're comfortable in telling that person that they're making a bad decision because you guys have that type of relationship. And it's just like, if the Bulls could translate that into the game, man, they would be so much better off than they are now. Because it's just like, when they make mistakes, you know, you'll have at times Rose might pat himself on the chest and say, oh, that was on me. Or Gasol might look at him, oh, that's me. And that's
he,
it.
He does like, that? No, my bad. I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit.
You're terrible, Jay. Yeah, they say that a couple of times in the Memphis game. But it's just like somebody has to say that. Like somebody, like when that Houston game, when Gasol came in there and turned that ball over two or three times, in that Rockets game that almost gave the game back to the Rockets. If I'm Fred, I'm calling timeout. So I'm sorry, bro. Hey, tonight's not your night. Go sit down. Hey, Felicio, get back out there. Because he was doing, he was making blocks. He was getting rebounds. He was doing everything that you asked him to do. He wants it. And that's the thing. That is the thing. You mentioned, hey, this is a guy, you know, I think the Bulls got on a 10-day. Those kind of players, your 10-day contract type players, those Sean Kilpatricks out in Brooklyn, those Felicio in Chicago, those are the kind of guys that were looked over, they weren't really sought after, but they go out there, and when they get a chance and opportunity to shine, oh, they shine. And they do it humbly. They're not the Jimmy Butlers of the world. And I'm just picking on Jimmy. You know, they're not talking in third person. You know, they are, hey, this is my moment. I'm doing this, and I'm trying to live this moment and make it be successful. And that's what you need. And that's the type of mentality that the Bulls need if they want to be successful, whether it's to get into the playoffs, which is looking like that door is everything but closed right now, or whether it's just moving forward in the future. Because, you know, hey, the offseason will be here before we know it, and it may be here in a couple of days. Which you said the magic number is 1 and 2 now for the offseason. So, yeah. So it may be here by Saturday. So, you know, who knows? I may be the only Chicago Beat reporter on the road in New Orleans. I may be the only one. You know,
just waiting there for nobody to show.
Right. I may be the only one. And, you know, if that's the case, that's fine. I will definitely have a nice seat. But, hey, it's rough. And, again, like I said, the Bulls need that dog mentality, and they don't have it. And that's the difference between the Bulls when they were coached under Tibbs and the Bulls when they were coached under Fred. Because the only game that I can think offhand that the Bulls just gave up on Tibbs, and that was Game 6 last year. it was apparent at the United Center that the Bulls just gave up. Because Dunleavy was making Rose look silly. It was just terrible. The Bulls. Yeah, that was my fault. Who did I say?
Dunleavy made it too, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dellavedova. Yeah, my fault about that. Dellavedova. Yeah. He just made Rose look silly. It was bad. And that was the only game that I can right now recall that when the Bulls just gave up. But, I mean, it looked like you can almost every other game or every other third game, the Bulls just give up when it comes to close under pressure. I mean, as you mentioned, look at the Atlanta game. That was a must-win game. That was a game you had to win.
It was like you made it. Came out of the gates, ready to go.
Yeah, ready to go. First quarter. I think that was the day I went to O'Hare. I ran and got a plane ticket. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, because I left the game. I was just like, okay, the Bulls are doing their thing. I'm going to run, and I think I ran out and went to the airport real quick. And I started tweeting, asking people about the score. And they were just like, don't come back to the game. And I'm like, oh, you guys are being dramatic, you know, because a lot of my followers, they are so dramatic. Yeah. Like, if I don't put a post-game interview right there on Twitter, like 2 minutes after it happened, you know, they're sending me hate mail. I'm like, you guys are too dramatic. So I'm thinking, like, oh, it's probably just a 3 or 4 point game. The Bulls, it was over with. And I was just like, wow, what happened? You know, this is a game you have to win. Like, after the first 7 minutes of the game that you guys just forget to play. You know, and if I'm not mistaken, that was the game where they got outscored 30 to something in the second quarter or something crazy like that. And, you know, again, you have to – you can just count on your hands how many times the Bulls lost games this season. And you just scratch your head. You just scratch your head at them. This is the same team that went 0-2 against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And you just – And it's like you love Zach LaVine, you know, you like what they're doing up there in Minnie, you know, and you're just wondering on paper, how in the hell did the Timberwolves come into Chicago and beat you? And how did you go into Minneapolis and get beat? How? You know, and you just scratch your head. You remember when they lost to Denver? And I bring up some of these games on the West Coast road trip because I feel like as a beat writer, you really see it when you're really there. And I saw that. Yeah, that was the game that Jimmy got injured and it looked really, really ugly at first. But the Bulls were up by 18 points, if I'm not mistaken, going into the third or going into the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken. They were going into the fourth, and they lost that game.
I think they've lost probably 5 or 6 games this year where they've had a 18-point lead or more at halftime. I don't know if that's a completely accurate stat. It just feels like that is the case. Thinking back on the season, they can't hold a lead.
They can't. They're like the Thunder in the fourth quarter, but they're worse because they do it right at the halftime, or you know, like you can see the writing on the wall. Yeah, and the only difference is at least with the Thunder, it's like this just kind of started happening within the last couple of weeks with the Thunder. You know, this has been something with the Bulls since really what the season. You know, this was the same thing. Remember, right out the gate, they beat Oklahoma, they beat the Spurs, they beat LeBron, and it was just like, but then they lost to the Nets, they lost to, you know, all these other teams that they should not have lost to. And then next thing you know, they took a skid with Phoenix and Brooklyn. It got ugly, like, during that part of the season. You're just scratching your head like, wow, this is the same team that, you know, if I'm not mistaken, they beat Oklahoma twice this year, right? Yeah, they beat Oklahoma on Christmas Day, and they beat Oklahoma in Chicago on November 5th. But, you know, they lost to the Timberwolves twice. So it's just like you don't know what to make of this team. And if you ask the players, hell, they don't know. And, again, all of that is a problem. And then you have to say, so when are you guys going to hash this out? I mean, they, you know, and they should have done that a long time ago. And, you know, you mentioned Taj, maybe, you know, maybe he's the voice. But then it's just like, if for me, either Derek or Jimmy got to be the voice. If Noah's not the voice, Derek or Jimmy got to be the voice. Because when you think about the Chicago Bulls, this is either Derek's team or this is Jimmy's team, depending on which side of the fence that you rock with. Not saying that they're not on the same page, but when you talk to the fan base, that's the way they see it. You got your Derek, you know, fanatics, you got your JB fanatics. I have yet to meet one person to say I like Derek and Jimmy. Like, it's like you have to choose, right? So it's like, you know, one of those guys got to be the leader. One of those guys got to say, look, I want to make it to the playoffs. I don't want to go home next week. I want to be in the playoffs. I want to get a shot at LeBron. I want to do the unthinkable. I want to unseed the number one seed. Somebody has to have that voice.
I don't see
again,
that.
Yeah, again, no, yeah. I mean, it hasn't happened yet, right?
No, so right now.
So right now, right? I really hope the Bulls prove us all wrong, man. You know, I really hope if we talk again next week and it's Wednesday and the Bulls are playing at Philadelphia 76ers and they are, you know, one game away from being in the playoffs and we call each other and we're like, wow, the Bulls are getting ready for Cleveland and I'm reporting live at the queue. I mean, it's a fairy tale that I'm putting out here, but I really hope that, especially for the fans, because man, the Bulls have such passionate fans for real. I just hate the way that the season went. You know, to go back to your first original question, if you would have asked me when the Bulls played the Cleveland Cavaliers, I think it was like October 28th, first game of the season. If you had asked me would the Bulls be in this predicament, I would have been like, no, of course not. Could be. This team, didn't they start out like 11-5 this season? Didn't they start out like really well? Like they started out very well this season. So they played well.
11-5, no. 11-6, 11-7, 11-8.
Right. 11-11, 11-12, 12-12, 12-13.
All the way to where we are now, 39-39.
Man, I tell you, man, I don't know what to do. I need to ask. I need to call Nick Friedell. I need to call Casey Johnson. I need to call those guys.
We prefer Casey Johnson and Joe Cali on this show.
Oh, you guys like those guys? Okay, I need to call those.
The regular guests on our show, not this season because we haven't been podding a lot, but we definitely need to reach out. They've been on the show multiple times.
Really, really. You know, I love those guys. I have not really talked to KC a lot. I mean, we see each other, you know, but Cowley is hilarious.
Yeah.
He should – if stand-up comedy is where he needs to be, he needs to be at somebody's nightclub.
He's so misperceived by Bulls fans. It's funny.
What do Bulls fans think about him?
Oh, they hate him. Absolutely.
They hate him? Really?
I did a poll on Twitter. Who's your favorite beat writer? Casey, Nick, Vincent, and Cowley. And I think Cowley and Vincent had like 7% for Cowley and like 8% for Vincent. And then Nick had like 20% and everybody else had like, you know, Casey had the rest.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think all of the guys are great. And I'm not just saying that because I have to look at them, but I think all of them are great. I think I like Nick because I've been knowing Nick the longest. I've been knowing Nick ever since I got into sports journalism. I remember when I first met Nick, it was a Minnesota Timberwolves game. I met him, the Bulls were in town some 3 years ago. So, yeah, I met Nick 3 years ago. So I've been knowing Nick for a while. And I remember the first day he followed me back on Twitter. That's when I knew I made it. And I got the Nick Friedell follow. And he's probably going to follow me down
this
to that
sentence. This is everything I don't want to hear. We got a Nick Friedell fanboy? Is what? No.
What? Right, exactly, right? I got to endorse Nick Friedell for
ask him a question, though. Ask him how he likes all of those vines that he gets from Gustavo Vega.
Oh, yeah, I need to ask him that. Because, man,
Gus goes in on him a lot.
Oh, yeah, Gus hits me up a lot and tells me all these crazy stories about things he heard Nick say on ESPN 1000 and stuff like that. And I'll be like, what is going on here? But, yeah, Nick is pretty cool. Vince, I know a lot of people hate him because he's from Detroit.
Of course,
and so
yeah.
People think that, you know, it's that whole Detroit-Chicago thing. But Vince is, like, one of the coolest guys ever. Now, the funny thing about Vince, though, do you remember when Derek cut his hair and said he was trying to get waved?
Oh, yeah.
Vince, where are they, Vince by and the I way? Had a, right, you know, come on now. Derek, I don't think, ever had a wave in his life. Mm-mm. But Vince and I, we had a nice running joke with that for a long time. And because, you know, Vince is known for his little waves on Comcast Sportsnet. And so, you know, I always, to mess with Vince, I will always be like, oh, your waves are nice. They not Trey Burke, though. And, you know, oh, and so like when you say that. But he's a great guy. Like I said, Casey Johnson, I think, is received well by everybody because, I mean, he's been doing this since forever. And, you know, Cowley, I don't know why people don't like Cowley. I mean, Cowley, he's different.
He's really he's honest on Twitter at times, and it didn't appease fans when he was labeled a Derrick Rose hater the last few years on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know he's always said something about Derrick, which some people will think, oh, but isn't that a conflict of interest? Well, that's the cool thing about me, though. Like, I may be a Derrick Rose beat writer where a lot of my coverage is Derrick Rose, but any basketball player would tell you they would respect your honesty. Like, if Derrick had got to have a bad game, I'm not going to try to make it sound like he had a great game. Like, right. If he shot 2 for 16, I'm not going to be like, oh, well, Derrick only missed 14 shots tonight. No, like, Right. Like, did you see that shot that almost went in? It wasn't a Tony Snell miss, you know.
No, you see Derrick Rose's stat line? Yeah, well, did you see the guy's defense? Like, come on.
Right. Exactly.
It's on him.
You can't do that. But no, it's cool, though. For real, all those guys are great. All those guys are great. I love it. I know you didn't ask me if I love the beat or not. I know I think I'm just rambling.
Sure,
but...
you know, anybody would love to be on the beat, you know. Like... I'm wondering if I can come over there and swoop your, get away with being Johnson next time you're at a Lakers game or a Clippers game, you know, just come down.
Definitely. I mean, we have to do that because I love coming out to LA. That's a city I would love to work in, honestly. So next time I'm at a Clippers or a Lakers game, even if the Bulls aren't on the court, we definitely have to make that happen. I know a couple of people that can make that happen too.
We'll talk after all.
Yeah, we'll talk later. You know. I forgot we're still recording. We'll talk later. I was about to say a whole bunch of stuff that I shouldn't say. But yeah, but no, all jokes aside, man. Tell me. I mean, well, let me ask you a question. What are your thoughts when it comes to the Bulls? What is the ideal situation you would like to see happen?
That's crazy because you know, like sitting here thinking about it all. First of all, it's out of my pay grade, you know, like, I don't know if I was in charge of the Bulls organization, I would have a lot more grasp on what guys you're getting along with the coach, what guys aren't. So I would start there because I'm not going to sit here and pay two coaches $20 million a year not to coach the Bulls.
Right.
I think giving Fred a 5-year deal was a mistake, a 2 or 3 year deal and see how that goes would have been more, feasible to me, but whatever, it's done. So my thing would be, look at who's not getting along with the coach. You need to sit them down, Jimmy Butler, for instance, and put it out there. Like, hey, we're not getting rid of the coach. We believe in his system. We believe in his ways. We need you on board. We need you to be a leader. Leaders under coaches, normally, if you look at the history of the league, the leaders of a team that fall into the system and go with along with the coach and get others to buy in, those are the successful teams. We're not going to be successful playing Jimmy Butler basketball. I think you need to let Powell and unfortunately Joakim Noah, unless he's going to take a hell of a huge pay cut to come back and be a backup center, because I think after last year coming back and you just really didn't see Joakim Noah play Joakim Noah basketball, he's worn down, his body has been through hell and back. I think you let those two walk. You move guys like Tony Snell. You move guys like Bear Style. You send him down to the Windy City, whatever they are.
The new D League team that's going to be playing on the Northwest side.
Windy City Bulls, maybe? Yeah, that's probably it. Windy City Bulls. I don't know what the hell they are. They went my job offer. So I think guys like the impact guys, you know, your bench guys that you want to build because they're the younger guys, the McDermotts, the Bobby Portises, the Felicios, hang on to Holiday, hang on to Etuan Moore. I think he's a valuable backup because he can play both positions. But I think you shop Nico. I think you see what you can get for him because he's not – I mean, if he's not hitting a jump shot, if he's not shooting outside and he's not on, he's not doing anything else for you. That's it. I like Doug McDermott's game. He's able to handle the ball, get to the rack. As Stacey King claims, he's got sneaky hops. I think that's only because he's white. I think if he was black that he wouldn't have such sneaky hops. So, you know, a little racial profiling there, but that's cool. You know,
right. You can say that. I can't. I think I might get fired.
So, you know, there's that. And then I honestly think you give Derek and Jimmy another shot together and see where it's at. And you can always trade one of the two away next year. You mentioned that, you know, there's always – you haven't met a fan that's a Derek and a Jimmy guy. I'm a Bulls fan first and foremost, but if I had to pick one, like I just have this connection with Derek. Like, in there, I feel bad. Almost feel bad for the guy for where he was mm-hmm. at. He's at the top of MVP of the league. He was getting ready to, in my opinion, and a lot of Bulls fans' opinion, win a championship right before he went down with that hurt ACL. So.
Yeah,
what he's been through to come back, he doesn't deserve all the criticism. He doesn't deserve the microscope that he's under. He's the most criticized player in the NBA. I'm a Derrick Rose fan, above a Jimmy Butler fan. But at the end of the day, I just want success for this team. And if that means you have to move one of those guys or both of those guys to get another person in here to build around, no matter if they're, you know, you're not going to trade both of those guys for a nice young rookie. I mean, obviously, feasibly, salary-wise, that's not possible. But you get rid of one of those guys for a young rookie or a young second, third-year guy that you just – you know that's going to be a franchise player, and you start building mm-hmm. around that person. I'm down for that. But I think right now, next season, the quickest thing, I want the Bulls just to do kinks and kind of retool the thing and get a new outlook on your bigs. And bring in some new bigs in here, maybe add another wing player, and let Jimmy and Derek have one more pop at this thing. Because also I've heard that Derek and Jimmy are going to try to work out this summer in LA together, along with Doug McDermott. So I think that's huge if those two get together and work out, spend some time away from everybody, be with themselves, and develop more of a relationship off the court. And I think that's what this team needs. Some people think it's a joke and it's laughable that NBA players, that's their job, and they don't need to have relationships off the court, and it's all about going out and playing the game. But I tend to disagree with that a lot.
I made the joke earlier about they should all go out to a restaurant. And if they go to LA, they should go to – since you guys got Denny's on every corner, they should all go to Denny's. They should all go to Denny's. You know what, Jay, you just gave me a great idea. If the Bulls are, let me tell you, mark my word, if the Bulls are out of the playoff picture, more than likely none of the beat writers are going to come. I don't see the Tribune sending Casey Johnson. I don't see Cowley coming down to New Orleans. It may just be Nick Friedell and I and Vincent Goodwill. It may just be us three. I'm going to talk to Derek. I'm going to say, hey, Derek, do you like pancakes? He's probably going to look at me a little weird like, man, what are you talking about? I love breakfast. And I'm going to be like, hey, I think you and JB and the team, you guys should go to Denny's right there in L.A. Don't Derek got like a little place he stays at out there in Beverly Hills? It's a nice Denny's down the street from UCLA. Or he can go to the one that's on the 101 going towards Ventura. It's thousands of them. I mean, he could just choose one. And then he can go to Denny's right there, not too far from Calabasas. That's the one I went to. They got great service. I'll go to Denny's. Shout out to Calabasas. So you can tell I've been to California before. Look at me. I know my places.
101, Ventura,
Yeah, you know, on your way to Santa Barbara, man. I'm telling you, I've been there. So go straight to that Denny's right there in that area of Los Angeles. And they should just eat at Denny's, you know, get and talk about the future. And I make that joke to say, I really do believe that off the court chemistry would really do them well, because that's and not to talk about the Wizards again, but that's my favorite thing about the Wizards. Like, you know, you see them dabbing and all of that, and people might be like, "Oh, they're a bunch of goofballs," but you know, it just shows the relationship John Wall and Bradley Beal got. From those two guys who are like the hems of the team, all the way down to Kelly Oubre, who's a rookie, you know, a new kid on the block. And it's just like they all are together. And the same thing with the Clippers and the same thing with other locker rooms that I've been in. Not to say that the Bulls aren't together. I don't want to put that out there. Oh, the Bulls aren't together. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that, have you ever heard of a story of Derrick Rose and, you know, Jimmy Butler and Jewel Osco together buying the 10 for 10 groceries? Like, have you ever heard of that? Like, no, you've never heard of. You saw Derrick and PJ at the Miami Zoo. Why Jimmy wasn't there holding PJ at the Tortoise, you know? It's just like, if they had that kind of a relationship, if the team had that type of relationship, I think it would translate greatly on the court. So we need TMZ to be taking pictures. Derek and Jimmy surfboarding. If they want to have D'Angelo Russell there recording the event,
surfboarding,
that's fine. they could be out there surfboarding, playing with sharks. They could have D'Angelo. He can do his second job of recording people. He can have a little part-time job and we're doing recording this summer in LA. Whatever they want to do, I'm fine with. Put it out. That's what they need to do, and I'm thinking it work. I am going to put that in the suggestion box, because you might have noticed, Jay, but they asked for our opinion. People talk about how players don't like the media. Oh no, they may say that on camera, but off the camera, oh, they have a suggestion box. And I don't know if I can talk about this, but I will anyway. It's this imaginary box that I just made up, but it's called the suggestion box, and you can put your suggestions in there of what you think they should do, and that's what I'm putting my suggestion in. I think they should go out to L.A. and go have a good meal at Denny's and go surfboard afterwards, and they should all get together. And I think that – and if the Bulls win the championship next year and you hear stories about Jimmy fell off the surfboard
– credit.
Credit. Just refer back to this podcast. They're like, I remember some dude named Josh was talking about. That's all I need.
Pancakes at Denny's.
Whew, I'm telling you, man.
It's funny because Cal used to joke about him and Derek eating pancakes at IHOP.
I would love to see them eat.
He'd tweet out like, Derek's not going to join me for pancakes at IHOP today. Something bad to say. It was like his joke.
Good man. I would love to know what type of relationship Derek got with Callie. I would love to know that. Because let me tell you, if I ever see them and I have together, then I know something is up. I'd be like, what's wrong? Put in that suggestion.
I have one more question. I got a question real quick before we get off here and wrap this up. This might fill up people's iPhones or Samsung Galaxies or whatever they listen to this thing for if they have to download it. last season, a couple of years ago, Derek and Reggie Rose, that was like a hot topic. And now that you're the Derek Rose beat reporter, beat reporter, do you know anything about their relationship? Like, is Derek's relationship with Reggie a little more of a family-based relationship now, and he's not so much into the business aspect of what Derek Rose is doing on and off the court?
It would be hard to say, because as far as I know, Reggie is still pretty much, you know, running things, as far as I know. I know at one point in time, Reggie was a little more vocal, saying how he felt about things, and he hasn't really done that much lately. I think that was really done because I don't think that he really realized how powerful media it was.
Right.
It is. I think that's what that was. But I don't think that their relationship has changed at all because, from what I know of Derek, and, you know, I get a chance to be around him a little bit, but from what I know of Derek, I mean, family over everything, and I know that's just like the new thing, right? But no, seriously, like, that's just how Derek gets down. So I don't think that Reggie and his relationship has changed or is more family-oriented more than business or whatever the case may be. As far as I know, yeah, Reggie is still running things. He may not be so vocal with it because now he knows how powerful media is. You know, really, I think this is the thing that I think that the D-Rose camp, and I could be helpful in this situation if they would see this. If they really realize how powerful media is, and if they realize why people interpret certain things that Derek says so negatively, and I see it because I am a journalist. I see when Derek Rose is standing at a podium on Media Day talking about free agency, I see why that made people ears bleed that love the Bulls. He didn't see that. Nobody else in that camp, I guess, really saw what was wrong with that. And this is why they didn't see what was wrong with that, because it's a business, right? Now, I'm speaking from Joshua. Of course, I can never speak for Derek, but it's a business. Let's just call it what it is. This is a what have you done for me lately business. The only time is what can you do for me business is if you are a rookie. For example, if Vince gets drafted number one or number two, whatever team he ends up, we don't know what type of player he may be in the league, but we just know the projections of what he can be. So that would be a what can you do for me type league at that point. But for somebody like Derek or anybody that's like in a Derek is what have you done for me lately. So if you have missed all these different, you know, what, 100-something games or almost 100-something games that you've missed over the past few years due to injuries, whatever the case may be, the last thing the fan base or anybody else want to hear about is what type of money you're looking to see. But because this is a business, we understand, hey, if Chicago decides they don't want to re-sign Derek or offer him anything after his free agency, and a team like New Orleans or Brooklyn say, we'll give you that max deal, you know, what, 40, 50 million, whatever they're throwing out per year. Of course, or if not more, excuse me, way more than that, right? With the TV deals coming in, of course, you're going to more than likely take that deal. If Chicago say, we'll give you 3 years for 40 million versus Brooklyn saying, we'll give you 3 years, 90 million, obviously you're going to take that 90 million, right? Yeah. So it's a business. But as a fan, you don't want to hear Derek say something like that because you're looking like, well, it happened to you these other years. But then you have to remember, too, he got injured. It's not like the guy decided, well, hell, I'm not playing basketball this year. Like, he was injured. So it's just like, I can understand why somebody wouldn't get it, but you have to understand it from a fan base and a journalistic point of view. And this is Chicago of all places. So this isn't a media-friendly city. For example, like in Memphis, the Grizzlies can be terrible or they can be great. Memphis is going to love the Grizzlies. Their newscast is going to wear blue. They're going to talk Grizzlies all day, all day. This is not that's how it is in the big market. In Chicago, if the Bulls are terrible, it's going to be front page. If the Bulls are terrible, every sport person is going to be on them. You know, this is a different vibe. So it's just like Derek is a walking soundbite at times. And it's like, he needs that person in his corner that's going to say, okay, Derek, if somebody asks you about free agency, respond this way.
Yep.
Hey, I'm not looking, you know, yes, free agency is around the corner, and I understand how this business works, but I want to help my team where I'm at to help us get to the playoffs and to the championship, because that has always been a lifelong dream of mine, to play for the Chicago Bulls and bring a championship home to my team. That is great PR. But if you don't have that, then you have the answer that you have. And there's nothing wrong with what he said. In theory, there's nothing wrong with what he said. But
the timing,
it's not going to go right.
Who it came from because of his past.
And who it came from and all of that is going to be bad. And it puts a cloud. So, yeah, that's the problem. So, I say all of that to say, his camp, that's what they need. And I think that's why Reggie stopped talking.
Unfortunately, we got cut off there with Josh. So we're going to wrap it up. Had a great time with him on the show. Really appreciate him stopping by. Can't wait to have him on again. Great dude. Great talks, great inside. Love the I love the talk on what was going on inside the locker room. Kind of gives a paints a picture for some of us fans that have never been in the locker room, and what we may have thought was going on really wasn't going on, and just some other things around the NBA. Kind of cool to know about, you know, what the Wizards were going through, how great their locker room and camaraderie is, along with the LA Clippers. And yeah, just a nice episode, I thought. I hope you all enjoyed it. And be sure to check us out on our website at shybullzone.com, on Twitter at The Bullzone, and Facebook at Chicago Bullzone. That's it.
Jump inside the world that I've been living in. Steady kid, always rapping and carrying a grin. See, I'm in it to win. Sticking the music like a twin and kicking over competition like a fucking garbage bin. I swear, we're all just trying to make it out there. So try to relate when I create this verbal warfare. And I'm becoming more aware of what I really got. And what I mean by that is my fat sack of pot. I hope I don't get caught. Started, man, I thought it was insanity. Hooked on it like when I followed terminology. And in the end, hopefully they are all gonna see that my flow has got more power than electricity. I'll be chilling with my crew like every day it ain't nothing. And loving what this life is gonna bring, I ain't bluffing. But see these other rappers slow like molasses, and couldn't see it all if they got all access passes. So fill your glasses, cause I'm saying some shit that you wouldn't wanna miss, like Haley's Comet, bitch. Coming in quick, so you better get ready